Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is where people who know me would generally hear me say, hello, everybody, and welcome to Dylan Brody's Neighbor's Couch. But this is a new podcast venture that I'm doing. This is called
the Crow and Dave Show.
The Crow and Dave Show. This is a podcast I'm doing with my cousin Dave, who some of you know from Twitter, at True Big Dave. And we've been having a little bit of an argument over whether the show should be titled The Crow and Dave Show or The Dave and Crow Show. My argument is it should be The Dave and Crow Show because I have previous podcast experience.
Yeah.
And your retort.
My argument is I'm smarter than you are, and obviously your last podcast wasn't successful, so we should name it The Dave Show with special guest.
No, my podcast was wildly successful, actually. I had many big stars. We're talking Josh Molina, who you know from the West Wing. You're a big West Wing fan. I know you were impressed by that guest. Roseanne Barr. We got Stephen Tobolowsky. I mean, just huge guests. Every main writer on Everybody Loves Raymond. I mean, it was a big, big show. And I don't like the fact that you're making light of it.
Did you say that the writers on Everybody Loves Raymond?
Raymond, not Raven. Raymond.
Oh.
Everybody Loves Raven. That ain't even the name of the show, is it?
Isn't that your show, Raven? I mean, it's impressive. You got the writers from a show that went off the air, 15 years ago to be on your show.
Let's not talk about that. Because I am the host, so I got to keep this thing going as the host. I know you wanted to be the host to the Crow and Dave Show, obviously. But Dave and I, just to let the audience know, we grew up together, very close cousins, kissing cousins, some would say.
Don't say that.
Not that we ever actually
just because you had a thing for your other cousin.
I had no thing for any cousin. No, that's not true. You're making that up, Dave.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had a lot of...
I see her out in Dell sometimes. Let me tell you what, she's rocking them jeans.
I never said she's rocking them jeans. I never said that. You're making that up. And see, this is what Dave has done to me my entire life. I'll come up with something creative or witty to say, and then he'll just cut the legs right out from under me. Because he doesn't appreciate me for my talents, if you will. Let me give one example. You know, a few years ago, I got my bachelor's degree in criminal justice. And you used to be an actual, police officer. And the thing about it is, I considered us peers because of that. I had a degree, and you had the experience, but we were both in the criminal justice field. You had a problem with me calling you a peer, though. Why is that?
Well, just because you've been arrested doesn't make you in the same field.
Right, no, I'm not talking about my previous arrest. I'm talking about my education. I've got a degree on the wall as we speak.
Okay, well, a peer would be somebody that, actually works in the field, not has a piece of paper hanging on their wall.
Yeah, well, we'll agree to disagree on that. Even though I think, you just told me earlier that you were smarter than me when I have.
Webster defines peer as a person who has equal standing with another or others, as in rank, class, or age.
Correct.
A nobleman or a man who holds a peerage by descent or appointment, none of which you qualify for.
We're close to the same age.
Okay, and that would make you a peer on a personal level, but not on a professional level.
Well, let's look at it this way. Somebody said, I think it was our grandfather, said that we are from some sort of nobility. Now, it could be that he was, just lying about that, or it may, maybe I am a nobleman.
He's lying.
What's that play? If I was
from the man that's... Yeah, but you're talking about this coming from a man who could drive 80 miles an hour down the road with a cigarette hanging out the window and the ashes never blow off.
Well, that was before the lip cancer.
And before the ass cancer.
But that is a true story. But that in itself is a talent. I can't do that. Can you do that? No. I think that's pretty damn noble, if you ask me.
He also sang a song about us standing on a deck and eating sweet potatoes.
Remember when he told us about when he went to the dentist? This is our grandfather we're talking about, who was a long-distance truck driver. He had an abscess tooth on the road, and he went to the dentist, and the dentist, I'm going to try to describe this correctly. The dentist straddled him, yanked the tooth out, and it had a sack of pus on it as long as his thumb, and the dentist told him, if you fed this to a horse, it would kill it. And what did you say?
I said, why would you feed it to a horse? And would a horse eat it?
Horses hate that kind of shit.
I've never seen a tooth-eating horse.
But if the horse had eaten the tooth, it would be dead. There should be a movie.
Well,
what's the movie about the horse? Who was the big famous horse that ran on the track?
Secretariat.
Secretariat's tooth. That's a movie.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Here's how Secretariat died.
Yes. See, this is why I'm the host. For genius ideas like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, okay.
Because you're the only one that can think of a tooth-eating horse.
Well, no. My grandfather thought of the tooth-eating horse. Yeah. Well, actually, his dentist did. I'm just trying to bring
that's
it in.
That's your lineage.
That is true. As a noble, you're right.
Exactly.
That's great. Now we know that we're peers. Another thing, though, you know, I also recently got a very important job. And the reason I know it's important is because they sent me a lanyard. A lanyard, if you don't know, is like a thing that goes around your neck with your, like, name on it and the company on it. And I was, as you know, very impressed with my lanyard. You were not impressed. You actually refused to say the word lanyard, and I don't know why.
It's a string that holds your ID on it.
Right, but not everybody, but that ID gives me power. Let's say I walk into, I don't want to say any names, but let's say I walk into this certain store. If I wear that lanyard, I can move stuff around in that store. I can, you know, go like a backstage pass. I can go back to the stock room, things like that. I mean, that's power in my mind.
Okay.
Now, we talked about your career as a police officer. Your badge, I consider my lanyard comparable to your badge. Now, tell me why that's wrong.
There's no way your plastic laminated name tag on a string is anything like a badge.
See, that's your point of view. I don't understand why. I mean, I think, to be really honest with you, I think that lanyard, especially in Florida, gives me the right to use deadly force. That's what I think. If I'm at a store and I've got that lanyard on, somebody fucks with me, I can, let's say I'm in a Walmart, I can beat them upside the head with a 24 case of bottled water.
Hang on just a second there, George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Let's back up just a minute before you end up in prison again.
Okay.
And
I never went to prison. Felony reduced to a misdemeanor. I did 2 years probation. But go ahead.
Okay, the lanyard is a string with your name on it.
Yes.
And if you hit somebody in the head with anything, you're going to go back to jail.
We already talked about it. It was a misdemeanor, number one. But what I would do in that situation, let me pose it to you this way. I've got my lanyard. I'm in the store. I've beaten somebody with some ink cartridges. The police officer then shows me his badge. I show him the lanyard. Okay? I show him the lanyard. He does. He said, no, lanyard doesn't work. No lanyard. Then I tell
him. He's probably going to hit you in the face.
No, but then I tell him, officer, I've got a criminal justice degree. We are peers. Blue wall of silence, thin blue line.
He's gonna giggle because,
yes,
you know, that's a little bit funny. And yes, he may want to hold you for 24 to 48 hours while you're evaluated on a, you know, psychological basis.
Yeah, no, see, that's just the police overstepping their bounds. I'll tell him. You know, usually, as a matter of fact, I got pulled over recently for a speeding ticket. And I told the officer, I have a lanyard and a degree in criminal justice. Now, he wrote me the ticket, but I could tell in his eyes that he appreciated me as a peer. I could tell.
By the way he wrote you the ticket or the way he giggled when he wrote you the ticket?
He grinned. He grinned at me as if to say, it's kind of like, you ever heard the expression, a wink and a nod? He grinned as in, I got to do, he didn't say this, but he's like, I got to do this, but grin, I know you're one of us. It was that kind of grin.
Well, here's the thing. If you were one of us, and I say one of us and mean it, and you say one of us and you know better, but if you were one of us, you would not have gotten a ticket.
See, that's corruption. That's corruption right there. I'm glad you said
that's
that. I didn't even mean anything. I just wanted to hear you say it's corruption, and it's corruption.
Well, I knew you were full of crap because I've rode with you before, and you don't drive but about 30 miles an hour on the freeway.
That's not true anymore. That was when I was crazy. Now, this is another good point because a lot of people—
I didn't know you were sane again.
Well, that's possibly— But a lot of people—
This comes from the man who once paced at the foot of my bed at 7 o'clock in the morning.
That is true. Now, just to give people some background who may be new to this podcast and didn't hear my old one.
You had your hands up your shirt and paced at the foot of my bed because you had a key to my house.
I had anxiety issues, that's what we'll call them, and I would get off work at 7, and if I felt anxious, I didn't want to go to my lonely little apartment, so I would go to your house, and I would, I don't know if pace is the right word, I would shuffle around.
You walked a hole in the floor.
I would shuffle around at the foot of your bed with my arms up, but I had a good reason. My arms up my shirt kept my heart from racing.
Well, that was a really good reason for you to pace at the foot of my bed.
For some reason, that's the only place it worked. Do you remember the time,
work for
by
me.
The way, go ahead.
All it did for me was make my heart race because somebody was pacing at the foot of my freaking bed.
Well, but I mean, really though, why were you sleeping at 7 in the morning anyway? You should have been up. Let's start with that.
I didn't get off work until 4.
3 hours is plenty. You were a young guy. You were, what, 19 at the time? 3 hours is plenty.
Yeah.
Three hours is plenty of sleep. So let's just get off that, oh, you're keeping me up, Crow, with your fancy panic attacks and your fancy heart arrhythmia. I was in crisis, and you were my closest living relative.
No,
okay?
Your father, your brother.
My brother was in high school, and my father was very busy. And plus, he was in the bed at that time of morning because he didn't get up at 7 o'clock.
So was
but
I.
He was older. You don't go wake up an old person with your arrhythmia. You go wake up a young person with your arrhythmia. It's just manners. It's just manners.
That's probably why I don't have any hair now.
Well, luckily, I have a luscious, full head of hair. And
you look like you've combed your hair with a freaking rake.
And I've got a long, flowing beard thing going on.
You have none of that.
In my mind, I do. Which is why I'm normal now, and I have a lanyard. And I'm going to work next week. I'm going to spend a week in Statesville at a motel to do this big, important job that I have to do. And, you know, that's a long way from home.
Here's what I want to know. Are you going to wear your lanyard every day?
As a matter of fact, it's mandatory that I wear my lanyard every day. Mandatory. Now, that tells you something right there.
Will you be stopping any vehicles or making any Terry frisks or anything like that with your lanyard on?
But I could. If I'm in the store and I'm working in the store and I see a guy try to slip like a flash drive or a piece of lumber or whatever in their pocket, I will walk over and do the citizen's arrest because I can do that with my lanyard and my criminal justice experience. I have full rights by law to do that.
So,
have you ever heard
of
the
phrase? So you're going to walk up to somebody.
Yes.
And you're going to tell them that they're under arrest?
Yes, but citizen's arrest. I'll call it citizen's arrest. I don't have to, but I will. Just because, have you ever heard the phrase under color of law? That's a legal term. It's probably something I learned in school when you did it. It's called under color of law. That means I'm a colorful person and I have the legal right to do
something. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, that's what that phrase means. I'm a colorful person.
That's not at all what it means, you idiot. That's not even close to what it means.
Yes, no, it means I'm a colorful person with the legal right to detain you. And I have to do it.
Are you sure?
But I have to.
What online college did you get your degree from?
We're not going to talk about that. But it was online.
At the University of Phoenix online or something?
Well, either way. But see, because I have to be colorful because it's under color of law, I have to do it with flair like, hey, you, citizen's arrest, ha-ha, and that makes it under color of law.
No, that's not what the color of the law is, you idiot.
Yeah, I think you're way wrong on this. Now, speaking of idiot, you have another issue of something that I'm trying to do. We'll cover more of this on future podcasts. But my LA trip. I thought this was a great idea. I got a lot of friends in LA, and I wanted to go to LA to visit my friends. Now, I don't fly because I don't think they allow you to go into the cabin with your arms up your shirt. So I'm going to drive cross country. What is that feedback you've got going on there? That's a lot of feedback. Is that your police scanner or something?
No, that was Gomer Pyle saying, citizens riot, citizens riot.
Well, number one, I'm not Gomer Pyle because Gomer Pyle did not have a criminal justice degree. Number two, back to the L.A. trip. I'm going to drive cross country to L.A., 3 days there. Or 3 days out, 3 days there, 3 days back. You find that ridiculous. I find that inspiring in a way. And I'll say the company. I've asked Taco Bell to fund the trip and to strap a giant taco to the top of my car, which they haven't gotten back to me yet, which I consider that means they're really evaluating my proposal. Why do you hate the LA? You've already said you're not going on the trip. Let's just get that out of the way.
There's no way I'm going on. No, I'm not going.
But my question to you is, why do you find it so insane?
You're going to drive from North Carolina to
Los
Angeles.
That's where I live. Yes.
In 3 days.
Yes.
Now, that's easily done. You know, I've been in a motor vehicle, and that's happened.
Yes.
And then you're going to spend 3 days there.
Correct, and doing all kinds of wonderful things. Wonderful things. Go ahead.
Such as?
I'm going to hobnob with celebrities. I'm going to hang out. Mm-hmm. Going to go see a lot of people I know talk about the L.A. traffic. I want to experience it. I'm going to go on the 10. I'm going to go on the 405. And I'm going to tweet from the 405, hey, this traffic on the 405 really sucks. And that's what I'm going to do. And I think that's wonderful. But anyway.
You're an absolute moron.
So you've got that part. What is your hang-up about this?
You're going to drive 6 days for 3 days?
That's correct. But see, what... A part of it, the trip itself, I mean, the road trip, When we were kids, we used to talk about going on road trips all the time, and here I am going to do it. So I don't really get your
okay. And who's going with you?
Right now it's just me. I'm having a hard time getting a co-passenger. I think the large taco is detracting a lot of people.
Right.
But, yeah, you see, you still haven't given me a real argument on why it's so crazy. I think it's perfectly normal. Pardon?
To want to drive to California and back to spend 3 days there doing who knows what. You don't know what.
I don't know what you have. Yes.
You're going to slob
let's say, with somebody. Let's say brunch with Josh Molina. How about that? Brunch with Josh Molina. I think I can make that happen. Now,
okay. You
would drive 6 days to have brunch with Josh Molina? I know you would.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, then you would be there. Have you ever met Josh Molina? I've spoken to him on the telephone, and he is a wonderful, wonderful man.
Well, let me tell you, I watched him on Sports Night and then watched him on The West Wing and also on Scandal.
Yeah,
and
Scandal is great, by the way.
I don't really feel like I need to have brunch with him to enjoy his craft. And definitely not going to drive 6 days for a meal that can't even decide if it's breakfast or lunch.
Well, let's see. When I said brunch, that was joking. It could be breakfast or it could be dinner at his house on Passover. What do you think? Passover dinner at Josh Molina's house. There you go.
Are you Jewish again?
I've been Jewish since I converted. Absolutely. And by the way, that's another thing you didn't support me on. I don't know if you're an anti-Semite or what, but you did not support my conversion to Judaism wholeheartedly.
That's just because
you
I know
not.
What your credit score is.
That's not funny.
I didn't think you'd make the cut.
No, look, and don't make me play the Mason card, because people know that you are a Freemason, and we know what that means. It's a secret society. You control the world, and you control the media, and it's not the Josh Molinas of the world or the Crows of the world. It's the Freemasons, the Daves of the world. And that's why
could go to Los Angeles and have, you know, breakfast, lunch, or dinner with, you know, one of the studio executives who's also a Freemason, since we own the world and the airwaves.
Well, okay. See, now you're just proving my point. See, now you're playing the Mason card, which I knew, that's why I brought it up. Because I knew you would play that card. And now look who's smarter. Me. Exactly.
How so?
I'll accept your apology.
What apology?
Thank you. So, one more thing before we go. We're about to run out of time. But I recently did something that's very new to me. You know, I was never a buffet guy.
I told you, sex was fun.
Now, I've done sex. I've done sex. I did it multiple times at the bottom
with
of your bed.
With a partner.
That's different. But one thing, I went to a buffet-type restaurant. I won't say the name, but it was, let's just say it's Golden Corral. Let's just go. Let's put it on the table. It was gold. I went to Golden Corral. And I walked in, and I didn't know the rules, because you've got bowls, you've got plates, you've got cups. You have to make your own drink. Like, you take the drink and you put it in that, what do you call that machine that makes the drink come out? You got to put it in that.
Drinks.
Yes. And then you have to go to, you've got one place and there's salad, then you've got one place where there's hot food, and then one place where there's other food, one place
for
dessert.
I think people understand what a buffet is.
Well, they may not, because I didn't. And I don't understand the rules of the buffet.
You knew what a buffet was, you moron. You're not a complete idiot.
I know what a buffet is, but I don't know. I still don't know the rules. Like, do you have to get the salad first? Like, let's say I want some of the meatloaf and cabbage, but I want to eat that first.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Although I don't agree with the rules of buffets, really there are no rules. The only rule is you have to get a different plate, and you can't sneeze or touch the food with your hands.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, let's say, so, okay, let's put that on pause for a second. Let's say I go in and I get some meatloaf and cabbage and potatoes or whatever. I go to my table, I eat that. Then I go to the salad bar and eat a salad. Now, that's weird to people because most people eat the salad before the meal. But I'm going all crazy and out of the box.
It's completely out of order. It's out of order.
Exactly, and I don't know. Do the buffet people? Do they tell you no? You can't have your salad now. You've already had your meatloaf.
This is where buffet bouncers come in handy. You have a buffet bouncer. You don't have to worry about it. Just like if you don't wear the correct shirt, you know, with a collar on it or something, in a nice bar, the bouncer kicks you out.
See, I agree with that, and that's what I think. So people like me who come in to a buffet situation aren't just left out there like the zombie apocalypse. I think there should be a buffet bouncer at each station who says, if you walk to the wrong station, no, you've got to go to the salad first. If you stop here first, that's fine, but if you want a salad later, you're not going to get that salad. And the chocolate Wonderfall, that you don't get that chocolate Wonderfall first. That's last. You do not go to the chocolate Wonderfall until you've finished all your other courses.
And if you go out of order, I think they should just deny you the Wonderfall altogether.
What? You know, see, I agree. See, finally.
You just go back to the way it was when you were a kid. If you don't eat all your food, you're not getting dessert.
Exactly. And see, that's the great thing about us, and that's why I love doing this podcast with you, is because we disagree on so much, but when it comes down to the end, we agree on so much. I mean, you know, we disagree on piers and lanyards and things like this, but in the end, when it comes down to basic buffet etiquette and buffet rules, we're simpatico. We are peers as far as that goes. So, I mean, it's great. We've got a lot of stories, but as I wrap up, I'll just tell people maybe what's coming in the next episodes. I want to tell the snow story where we got snowed in and you told me to pick up provisions, and I thought provisions meant 5 cases of beer and 3 packs of cigarettes. I didn't know that you meant food as well until the second day when we were hungry. What are some of the Skittle? We got plenty of Skittle stories.
Just
stories out the wazoo. Professional wrestling, we're going to get into that. Football, we're both big sports guys. But I think maybe the next episode will probably be about professional wrestling, because that was really, really big in our childhood, and you know that I'm the world television champion, and
you're
the world champion.
You're a legend in your own mind.
Exactly. Well, Dave, as the host of the Crow and Dave Show, as we're running out of time, let me say thank you for joining me, and let's do this again soon.
Would you like me to send us out since I'm the host?
Send us out, and we'll see how you do.
Thanks for listening to the Dave and Crow Show. We'll be back next week for more of your listening pleasure.